Just because you went away, our doors are not locked. You want to come back home, all you have to do is knock. The words of DMX couldn't be more true, and in this case, we are back. Welcome back. Joe Grammatico, the lighter side. It's been a while. It's just me flying solo today, but it's good to be back. We're kicking off season number 2, and it's going to be an abbreviated season. But before I get into that, let's catch you up. We had a little bit of an abrupt end to our first season. And when I got this podcast started a little over a year ago, had every intention of ending season 1, right around the June draft timeframe, possibly popping back in, cover free agency, and then take the rest of the summer off and get things going, into September, end of August, into September, when training camp picks back up. Slight change of plans with the COVID. Got into summertime. The wife and I actually decided we were going to put our house on the market and look for a new home. And it actually coincided with Tom. I was doing the same thing. So busy schedules, getting things put together, houses prepped for selling, and new houses purchased. So still going through that process now. We'll actually be moving here in the next month. So wanted to do an episode before Tuesday night, October the 6th, for the draft. Do one last take on the draft and kick it off, call it season 2. I'll get Tom in here maybe for a recap if he can fit it in. One night we'll recap the draft and then probably cover free agency, and then I'll be away again as I go through the move, through November, and then hopefully we can get the third season kicked off right around the time the 2021 season gets a move on in the NHL. So we're back. We're going to cover the draft, and what I wanted to do, we did our mock draft. If you've listened to any of our previous episodes, you know that I'm a big fan of the mock drafts. I live for that when it gets to the end of the season. So it's no different. I wanted to do a mock draft a little bit different for this episode. Instead of give my opinion on it, as Tom would say, I nerded out. And I went through and I took about 12, 13 of the so-called experts, insiders, took their opinions, rankings, laid them all out, and did an average of where each player would be drafted and threw those onto a draft board. Gathering all the info, we'll see what, take my emotion out of it, take away team needs and who they might place in just based on their needs, and take all the experts' input, all the insiders' input, and just lay it out and see how close we can get when you combine everyone's opinion into one draft board. So I'm going to go through that here, but real quick, congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning, the 2019-2020 Stanley Cup champions. Pretty handily took care of the Dallas Stars in that series. Good win for them. Good, tough hockey. Definitely a deserving team. I don't know if that would have been the case had the season played out as is without the COVID, but summer hockey, a little weird to see without the fans, but still the hockey was good. Good action. As much excitement as you can really have without the feel of a real crowd in the stands. It's almost like watching the training camp scrimmage game, seeing the guys out there. I would have liked if they had turned the microphones up just a little bit more, maybe even put it on a station that's unedited, rated R, unrated telecast, where you can hear what these guys are saying to one another throughout the course of the game and get rid of that fake crowd noise. Hopefully we never need to get to this point again where it's something that they can do in the future, but would have been nice to see add a different element to this summer hockey league. All right, let's get to the draft. Obviously, the draft coming up, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, October the 6th. And that'll actually be tonight because I'm going to release this episode first thing in the morning. Four teams. We're going to have multiple picks in this first round. You got the New York Rangers. They're picking number one thanks to winning that the second draft lottery. They ended up being the to-be-determined team. And then, yeah, they're picking 1 and 22. You got the Ottawa Senators picking at 3, 5, and 28. What great luck that was for the Ottawa Senators. This is a deep, deep draft. All three of those picks, really, definitely 3 and 5, but even 28 with some of the talent that's in this draft has a chance of being a really good NHL player. The Ducks picking at 6 and 27. Then you have the Devils. They're picking at 7, 18, and 20. So again, like I said, I'm going to take out my opinion. We did our mock drafts after the original draft lottery balls fell. I know, talking about 1 through 7. But right now, I took TSN, NHL, The Athletic, you know, all these different so-called experts, their mock drafts, their opinions on team needs, who's going to fit in well, who's going to pick based off of scouting reports. I took the overall rankings from a few different sites, actually four or five different sites, compiled all that data and threw it out to get an average and see where these guys would slot in. So we'll start with number one, New York Rangers. I think it's a no-brainer there. The consensus number one pick is going to be Alexis Lafreniere, the left winger out of the Rimouski Oceanic of the QMJHL. He was the leader in points last season. Injured at the World Juniors last year, but he didn't even seem to miss a beat. A real good showing. He's good everywhere. He's a generational player like you hear of. He's going to be a superstar in this league for many years to come. Exciting guy. He's going to fit in quite nicely with a, I would say, a decent New York Rangers lineup. Probably underperforming for the amount of talent that they have on that roster. So Lafreniere should be able to play next season and step right in. Number two, the Los Angeles Kings. Lucky Luke Robitaille moves up the draft board. This one, to me, is a toss-up. It could be Quentin Byfield, the big power forward. It could be Tim Stützle. According to the averages that I came up with here, Quentin Byfield would go number two, the Sudbury Wolves of the OHL, big 6'4", 214-pound centerman. He's a guy that wants the puck. He's big, good hands. He's got an explosive stride, and he's got some guys there in L.A. that he can mold his game after and work with and become a really good player for that team for a long time. Number three, then, would be Tim Stützle, Ottawa Senators pick that they received from the Erik Karlsson trade to San Jose. Stützle, the Mannheim team of the DEL, had a good season, 34 points in 41 games. He's got some game-breaking abilities, great hands. He's great one-on-one. He is a threat to score whenever he has the puck. He can make things happen. It's a real, real good player. Those top three picks, you know, whether Byfield and Stützle, you know, swap spots, I don't think they're going to make it to number four, either of them. I don't think we're going to see any surprises in that top three. You never know. I mentioned before in our previous mock draft that we did, you might see a guy like Jamie Drysdale. If Ottawa really wants a defenseman and they're afraid the Wings are going to take him, that maybe they take him at three, or maybe L.A., they really want a defenseman since they got lucky and moved up on this draft board. Maybe they'll take Drysdale at two. I don't see that happening now that we get closer to the draft. We got Byfield or Stützle, 2-3. They're going to go in some order of those top three spots. Could be wrong. All the experts could be wrong. You could see somebody sneak in, but this is what the numbers tell me here. Number four, the Detroit Red Wings. This is where I think things could get really interesting and really shape the rest of, you know, the top 10 picks based off of what Detroit does. According to the numbers, Lucas Raymond, Frölunda of the SHL. He can play either wing, right-handed. This guy's got great hockey IQ, terrific hands, real good speed. He's good on the forecheck, strong two-way play. He's got things that Steve Yzerman likes. He's a two-way player, and he's right-handed. He can pass, shoot. He's going to play real well. He does like to hang around on the perimeter a little bit. Detroit has a lot of players like that. But I think based off his hockey IQ and the way that he can score and the way that he can make people around him better, and he can play either wing as a right-handed shooter, it could be a really good fit for Detroit. Again, they could go with Jamie Drysdale on defense. They could go with Cole Perfetti, a guy from Saginaw and of the OHL that's real close to Detroit. Probably the most talented player in the draft that would be left on the board would be Marco Rossi, the Austrian from the Ottawa 67s. You got Alex Holtz, who's a sniper, and you can't leave out the question, you know, Askarov, the goaltender out of Russia. He's projected to go outside of the top 10, but he's also projected to be a Carey Price type goaltender and the best Russian goalie since Vasilevsky. So you never know. Steve Yzerman likes to do things a little bit different. He keeps quiet like most GMs, but we've been hearing a lot lately covering, you know, Drysdale, covering Perfetti. There's been talk of Rossi. They've been interviewed by our local media. And I think when that happens, Steve Yzerman is the kind of guy that's throwing those hints out there, and those aren't the guys that he's really looking at, which leaves it perfect. You know, a guy like Raymond from the SHL to sneak in and actually be the guy that Detroit's looking at. Maybe it's Holtz, and maybe it is Askarov. But according to averaging out all the experts, you got Lucas Raymond there at number four. Number five, Ottawa's second trip to the Zoom meeting. We have him lined up as Jamie Drysdale, the defenseman from the Erie Otters of the OHL. So they'd land Stützle and Drysdale. Great center / left winger in Stützle, and then a guy that's probably the only one in this draft that right now you can say is going to be a clear number one defenseman. That's his upside, his ceiling, you know, going forward in his career. He's a great skater, really, really good speed. He's going to quarterback your power play, and again, he's going to be the top defenseman on that Ottawa team, and they do need defense. That's what leads the question. Do they surprise everyone and take Drysdale at number three? I read an article from their GM earlier today. They're really excited to get either Byfield or Stützle at three. Regardless of what LA does, they're going to get a really good player. Is that something to keep Detroit perked? Does Detroit really want one of those guys? Will they make a trade to move up that one spot? Doubt it. Like I said, I think Byfield, Stützle, one of them is going to be there at three, and Ottawa is going to take them. In this case, they're going to end up with Drysdale at five, and things work out really great for Ottawa there. Number six, Anaheim Ducks would take then Cole Perfetti, center from the Saginaw Spirit of the OHL. Cole put up 37 goals and had 111 points for Saginaw this past season. He's a centerman. He likes to carry the puck. He can create time and space for himself and his teammates. He's got really good hockey IQ. Again, really talented guy. He's going to be a great player for that Anaheim Ducks team. Number seven, New Jersey Devils. They would take then at seven, the 5'9" centerman from the Ottawa 67s, the Austrian-born Marco Rossi. He put up huge numbers, 39 goals, 81 assists, 120 points this past season for the 67s. This guy, he's little, he's 5'9", but he plays a lot bigger than his size. He's got exceptional hockey IQ. If there's an opening, he's the kind of guy that's going to exploit it, and he's also responsible defensively. So again, a solid pickup. He's going to another guy with great potential Great upside in the future to have a really good career in the NHL. At number eight, then, the Buffalo Sabres would take Alexander Holtz, right wing out of Joux Gardens of the SHL. This guy, he's right-handed, and he is a pure sniper. He's a natural goal scorer. He can score from anywhere. He is probably the best goal scorer as far as goal scoring talent-wise goes in this entire draft. If you don't know who he is and you're looking up numbers, you're going to say he only scored 9 goals in 35 games this season. What do you mean he's the best goal scorer? All these guys score far more goals than he did. He's a young guy playing in a men's league, and he's not getting top minutes if he doesn't make the team in this 2020-2021 season. He's going to get much bigger minutes in his second season for Joux Gardens, and watch those numbers go up almost exponentially for Holtz. At number nine, the Minnesota Wild are going to grab a guy that's been climbing the ranking boards after April. You know, the season shut down, and he was playing really well. He's got hockey in his blood. Jake Sanderson, the defenseman out of the U.S. National Development Team, son of longtime NHL player Jeff Sanderson. Jake, he's a big guy, a bigger guy at 6'1". Real disciplined. He can play physical. He's creative. He recognizes the appropriate times to join the rush and to pinch on the opposing team's wingers. Real smart kid. There's been talks that maybe a team will surprise and take Jake Sanderson over Jamie Drysdale, maybe based on size, maybe based on the difference in the way he plays. He's more physical than Drysdale. Whether that happens or not, that's to be seen. But Jake Sanderson, he's a guy that was projected, you know, back in January to be a mid-first-round pick, and he's been climbing up the draft board, and on some people's boards, not many, but some, he sneaks up in front of Jamie Drysdale. I don't think that will happen, but you never know once the draft rolls around. Rounding out the top 10, the Winnipeg Jets selection, they would go to Finland in the Liga and take Anton Lindell, a center out of HIFK. Lindell, he's 6'1", he's 19. I just turned 19 on the 3rd of October. He's a very methodical player. He's always thinking ahead. He's not a guy that's going to get caught out of position. He loves to battle for the puck. He's going to be a real good player. He's probably the first guy that we get to on this list. He's not a flashy guy. He's not someone that's going to wow you. He's not going to take the fans, you know, out of their seat. He's just going to play. He's going to be where he needs to be. He thinks the game really well. And he's going to be a battler, and he's going to fit in really, really well on that Winnipeg Jets team if they snag him there at 10. Number 11, the Nashville Predators would then take the Predators would take Jack Quinn, right winger from the Ottawa 67s. He put up 52 goals. He's the only 50-goal scorer in this draft. 52 goals, 89 points for the 67s. And Nashville's a team that needs scoring, and Jack Quinn will be able to provide that for him. He's 19. He only stands at 5'11", but he can shoot from anywhere and at any angle off of either foot. He's going to get the puck through openings, and the puck's going to find the net when this guy shoots it. So good addition for the Nashville Predators and taking Jack Quinn. Number 12, the Florida Panthers, they would then take the goalie, Yaroslav Askarov. He played for SKA Neva St. Petersburg of the VHL. That's the second highest league over in Russia. He didn't have a good showing at the World Juniors. We've talked about that But he for St. Petersburg, he did have a 245 goals against average, 920 save percentage. He's 6'4". I'm 6'3", 6'4". He's only 176 pounds now, so he's going to get bigger. He's been compared to Carey Price. As I mentioned already, he's been talked about being the best Russian goalie since Vasilevsky. He's got incredible reaction speed. You're not going to catch him out of position. He plays some good angles. Askarov, he could go sooner than 12. If one of these teams really does believe the hype, it's iffy with a goalie. It takes longer to develop a goalie into a starter in the NHL. Maybe 12 might even be a little bit early. Spencer Knight went 13th last year. Goalies don't go early too often, but Askarov, he might break that mold and sneak up into the top 10. But we have him here going at 12 to the Florida Panthers. 13, the Carolina Hurricanes, the pick that they received from Toronto. They would then take Seth Jarvis, right winger from the Portland Winterhawks of the WHL. Another right-handed shooting goal scorer. He wants the puck. He wants the puck on his stick. He's a real good passer, a real good shooter. He can work good in tight spaces. He put up 42 goals for the Winterhawks, 98 points. The guy, he's a really, really good player to get. There's a couple other players that play the game and can score that are going to go in the middle of this first round. They all play the game slightly different. They all have their strengths are a little bit, just starting a little bit different from each other. But really good goal scorers and playmakers that are going to go in this middle of this first round. And Jack Quinn was one. Seth Jarvis is another. And this guy at number 14 that would then go to the Edmonton Oilers, Dawson Mercer. He's another guy. He's another guy out of Drummondville of the QMJHL, another right winger. He's right-handed. He's elusive and slick with and without the puck. Be a good addition for Ken Holland and the Edmonton Oilers, and just putting him out there with Draisaitl and the great Connor McDavid. At 15, the Toronto Maple Leafs from Pittsburgh, they would take a defenseman, a guy that's been climbing the mock draft boards. He's been climbing in the scouting rankings from the Brandon Wheat Kings, the WHL, Braden Schneider. He put 35 assists, 42 points this past season. Schneider's 6'2". He's already 210 pounds. He just turned 19 in September. He's not a guy that's going to take needless penalties. He plays a big, solid defensive game. He's strong. He's an imposing force. He can put the body on very well. He can score some goals for you, but he likes to play. He likes to use his strength and play a physical hockey game. And Toronto, I would be lying to you. Anyone would be lying to you if they said Toronto needed offense. They need defense. And there's going to be some other defensemen in this draft, but at that pick at 15, Braden Schneider is, in my opinion, the best available defenseman, and I think Toronto is going to nab him up and add to that defensive core. At 16, the Montreal Canadiens take center Connor Zary out of Kamloops of the WHL. Zary, another one of those forwards I talked about that are going to go in the middle of this round. He's left-handed. His shot's his best attribute. He's got a deceptive release. He's got excellent placement on his shots. He can collect passes, difficult passes in his feet, without breaking strides. He can keep the rush moving. He doesn't slow down. He keeps his feet going. And that's a big attribute, you know, to have, and that's something you talk about skills, you know, translating at the next level. That is a skill to be able to collect a bad pass consistently in stride and keep the play moving, and that's something that Connor Zary can do really well. At 17, the Chicago Blackhawks would take defenseman Caden Gouvill of the Prince Albert Raiders, WHL. Caden scored 11 goals and 40 points this past season. He's a big guy, 6'3". They breed him big out in the Western Hockey League, and Caden Gouvill's no different. When he's on his game, he's a menace. He constantly moves his feet. He closes with speed. He'll join the second wave on the attack. That's where he thrives. A good, solid defenseman in the middle of round one for the Chicago Blackhawks to pick. The Devils at 18 will make their second pick of round one. They acquired the 18th pick from Arizona. Here we have him taking Rodion Amirov, the left winger out of Salavat in the KHL. Again, you look at his numbers, you look him up, 21 games, he had 2 assists. He's playing in a men's league. He's not getting the top minutes as an 18-year-old. He's 19 as of October. 6 foot, only 168 pounds, so he's got some growing to do. But he has a high hockey IQ. He sees the plays before they develop. He's good on the rush without the puck. So Rodion Amirov, have him going at 18 to the New Jersey Devils. At 19, the Calgary Flames are going to pick up a power forward in a guy that can play center or the wing, Dylan Holloway of the University of Wisconsin, the NCAA. He'd be the first college hockey player to go. Dylan's 19. 6'1", 203 pounds. Yeah, as I mentioned, a power forward. He's a guy that consistently applies pressure on the back check. He's going to make timely hits. He's disruptive with his stick. He's going to add some elements as a big guy. He can play a little bit bigger than his size. A good power forward game. He'll fit in really nice for the Calgary Flames. Number 20. The Devils will make their third and final pick. It's a pick that they received from Vancouver via Tampa Bay. At this point, I have them taking Rossi at 7, a centerman. We got left winger Rodion Amirov. And here we got him taking a guy that can play either the right or left side wing, Noel Gundler, from the SHL Swedish League. In 45 games last season, he had 13 points. Noel's 6'2". He's going to be 19 the day after the draft, so a nice treat for him to go 20th to New Jersey the night before. At 6'2", he's only 174 pounds, so he has some filling out to do. He's going to shoot right. He creates majority of his offense when he doesn't have the puck. He's got the ability to find space, good timing. He's got a really, really good shot. He's just a guy that needs someone to get him the puck. He's going to find the open lanes. He's going to get to open ice. He's going to move well without the puck. You get it to him, and this guy can put the puck in the net. At 21, Columbus Blue Jackets, we have him taking Maverick Bork, center, out of Shawinigan, the QMJHL. He scored 29 goals and had 71 points this past season. Now, Bork, he's 5'11", 185. He shoots right. He has great, great hockey IQ. He's going to make plays that no one else can see. He's going to make them happen. He's good at bringing defenders to him and pulling them out of passing lanes. So Maverick Bork to the Columbus Blue Jackets at 21. 22, yet Hendrix Lapierre is a centerman. He'd be the second pick to the New York Rangers, who take Lafreniere first overall. LaPierre's out of Chicoutimi of the QMJHL. He had 17 points in 19 games for Chicoutimi last season. I believe he was traded from Drummondville towards the end of that season. He is a really, really good stick handler. Some call him a dazzling puck carrier. Really good puck skills. He's a guy that, you know, I don't want to compare him to Pavel Datsyuk, but he's someone that can effortlessly weave through an entire team in a moment's notice. And if you look up some film on this guy, it seems like LaPierre does it at least once a game in the queue. So he's probably not going to be on a roster for the Rangers next season, but look for him to continue to grow. And he's a guy that, with his puck skills, could be on that New York Rangers team sooner rather than later. 23, the Philadelphia Flyers. We have them taken Jacob Perreault, right winger from the Sarnia Sting. Perreault scored 39 goals this past season. Perreault, he's a right-handed shot. He is a pure sniper. He's accurate. And hard, accurate and hard shot for this guy. He's got the ability to catch and shoot the puck in stride. And even when his pass, even when a pass isn't in his wheelhouse, he can make it happen and he can get that puck off really quick and put it where it needs to be. So it'd be a great addition for the Flyers at 23. At 24, Washington Capitals. I got them taking a center, a guy that can play center or the wing, and Jan Mysak out of the Czech League. Jan, he's been floating around on the lower tier of the rankings. You see him in and out of the first round, but he's a guy that excels on the forecheck. He likes to skate north and south. He anticipates the play generally pretty well. He shoots left. That's going to be a good addition to the Washington Capitals at 24. Getting down to 25. Now, this is where the guys, and again, this is just based off of the numbers, averaging out all the expert opinions. But they're getting towards the 20 through 31. There's guys that are going to, names that you haven't heard of, that there's a guy that's really high on one of these teams' draft board, and they're going to sneak in to the later part of this first round, or the guy that was supposed to go in the middle of the first round, and he dips down and sneaks out of that, falls out of that first day of the draft and goes early in round two. So these guys, these are some guys that are, depending on what hockey site you look at, you might not see them in the top 31, but here's what we got. The final six picks here in round one, 25, belongs to the Colorado Avalanche. You have them taking out of the DEL left winger J.J. Paterka, and he had 11 points in 42 games last season. The DEL, they show well. We've talked about it before on this podcast. They're Dreisaitl, you got Stützle, you got Moritz Seider, who the Wings took last season. This German league, they're continuing to put high-level talent out. And in this draft here, we got J.J. Paterka. He'd be the second from the DEL to go in round one. This guy, he's someone that you would love to have on your hockey team, and whoever it is that drafts him here at the bottom of this draft board, you're going to get a guy with a nonstop motor. He's hard on the puck. He plays good on the boards. He's always moving, and he just doesn't give up. He doesn't stop. He's going to be a pain in the ass to play against. He's going to be one of those guys that you love having on your team, and you're going to hate to play against him. So Paterka out of the DEL, we have him at 25 to Colorado. 26, the St. Louis Blues, they're going to get a guy that, unless you're a real hockey fanatic and you're obsessed with the draft like I am, a lot of people, You're not going to know about this guy, but he's someone that's going to sneak into this first round. And I say sneak, maybe in the hockey experts, it's a no-brainer that he's a late first rounder. But I have the Blues taking Ty Forster, a center out of the Barry Colts of the OHL. He scored 36 goals last season and had 80 points. Ty's a centerman. He shoots right. He likes to set up at the top of the left faceoff circle and shoot some big-time one-timers at the net. He's got one of the best shots in this draft. You know, we talked about snipers like Holtz. You got another pure sniper like Perreault. I don't think that Forster is what you'd call a pure sniper. He's a guy with a hard shot that can hit the net. When I say one of the best shots, I'm not calling him a sniper. I'm just simply stating that he's got a really good shot. He'll be a nice addition to the St. Louis Blues at 26. At 27, the Anaheim Ducks will be back on the board with the pick they acquired from the Boston Bruins. We have them taking a guy that wasn't on our rankings when we did the draft, when we went through the top 31 guys last time, Lucas Reichel. He would be the third guy to come out of the DEL from the Eisbären Berlin team. He left winger, had 12 goals, 12 assists, 24 points in 42 games for Berlin last season. The Ducks would have taken Perfetti at 6, a center, left winger, Reichel. This guy, he's a two-way player. He's relentless on the forecheck, on the backcheck. He doesn't give up on a play. He wins battles because of his second effort, and he can also carry the puck through the neutral zone. Real good hockey player to pick up late in round one. This guy at 28, Ottawa Senators, they'll be their third and final pick. This one they acquired from the New York Islanders. At 28, they would have already drafted Tim Stützle at 3, Jamie Drysdale at 5. They'd get a center here, and this guy that I've fallen down through the rankings since we started, you know, talking about prospects earlier this summer. Brendan Brisson, a center out of the Chicago Steel of the USHL. Good player, 45 games last season. He put up 59 points. Brisson, he's not afraid to skate into pressure, one-on-one, skate into the defense, look to go through him, look to draw him in and drop a pass off. He's a pretty good, I call it a situational problem-solving forward. He can look for the openings, play a tough game, and you know, problem solve. You know, decide whether he should keep the puck or pass it, and he's going to make the right play. You know, 9 times out of 10. At 29, the Vegas Golden Knights. I have them starting the ring of defensemen to end round one. Helgrands, a defenseman out of Malmo, the junior 20 national team. He had 27 points in 27 games this season. He's a guy that 6'3". He's right-handed. He's 192 pounds. He skates well. He's got an active stick to go with his long reach. He can also walk the blue line with the puck on his stick in the offensive zone. At 30, the Stanley Cup runner-ups, the Dallas Stars. I have them, and I'm probably going to butcher his first name, a French guy out of the QMJHL, Jeremy Poyer, defenseman. He had 20 goals this season, 53 points. Poyer, the St. John Sea Dogs, he's 6'1". He's a guy that's going to use the boards, use his teammates, uses deception to create some breakouts. He's a good stick handler. He's occasionally going to take the puck, you know, into the high risk areas, but a good defenseman. And again, the string of defensemen at 30 there would go to the Dallas Stars. Jermaine Poyer. Poyer. Your guess is as good as mine. I didn't look up the pronunciation of it, and I always butcher French names. 31 to round out the draft, round one. San Jose Sharks, a pick that they acquired from Tampa Bay. At 31, I have them taking Justin Barron, the defenseman from the Halifax Mooseheads of the QMJHL. Hit 19 points in 34 games for Halifax. On some draft boards, some rankings, Justin fell off quite a bit. If you read about him, he's a guy that was hard to scout because he was injured. He's injured now. He was out with a blood clot for a lot of last season. Yeah, I believe he has a shoulder injury right now. I think he's talented enough. He's a right-handed shooting defenseman. 6'2", 198 pounds. He's good on the rush. He's got a good shot from the blue line. He loves to have the puck. He loves to carry the puck. I think he's talented enough to be picked as early as 20. But I think due to the blood clot, that can be an issue. Those tend to return. The shoulder problem that he's having right now, I think that's something that can drop Justin late in the first round to where he's the last name called on day one of the draft. Or due to those uncertainties, could be a guy that slides down into early day two and is an early second round pick, which at 32, I'd love to see Detroit snag him. But he is right-handed, and they drafted their share of right-handed defensemen last season. And if they do take Drysdale at 4, that'd be another right-handed defender. So they probably might shy away from a Barron there at 32. But I have him at 31. He'll be the last 31st overall pick. That's the final pick. There'll be 32 teams next time there's a NHL draft in 2021. So that's what we have. That's what I have for the first show back. It's been a while. It's been since early August. Probably 2 full months now since I last got on here and put a podcast together. I've been chomping at the bit. I've been thinking about you guys and getting some content out to you. But like I said, just a lot of stuff going on, trying to get ready to move, getting the house ready. Like I said, Tom doing the same thing. Our schedules, we couldn't nail down a date consistently, decided to take a break. Probably could have went a little bit better about announcing it to everybody. But hopefully forgive us. I'm back now. Like I said, we're going to have an abbreviated second season here, a real short. Get this out to you guys, and then we'll get back. I don't know if we're going to be able to. Originally, we wanted to have like a live draft party watch and broadcast it on our Facebook page and just give our highlights as it goes through. I don't know that we're going to be able to do that. But we'll definitely get back after the draft concludes, and we'll get you our take. We'll do a rundown, get Tom out here, get his input, and then free agency is going to be upon us really quick, so we probably won't be able to put another episode out before free agency hits this upcoming Friday, I believe it's the 9th. With that said, yeah, we'll get maybe 3-4 episodes in here pretty the early part of October. Maybe we'll be able to sneak in another one or two before Thanksgiving. Don't look for us regularly here until the next NHL season begins. So it'll be a little bit sporadic. You might get a lump of shows here in the next week or two, and then you won't hear from us for a little bit. But we will definitely be back. We will be back once the NHL season gets underway, the new season. I don't even know if it's going to be the 2020-2021 season or if it's just going to be a 2021 season. Bettman stated before that he's prepared to wait until January if he needs to. And I know there's still some uncertainties with the AHL and what they're going to do. They can't operate unless they have half capacity in attendance. So when where are these kids going to play? I know Detroit here locally has lent quite a few players overseas so they can start playing. But yeah, it'd be nice to get the AHL, their plan finalized so that we can get some certainty on the next NHL season. Until next time, hey, if we're not able to put something out, if we're not active during draft night, just watch for us to be active immediately following the draft later this week. Until then, I am Joe Grammatico, and I'll see you back here next time on The Lighter Side.